Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba. Sitting back being a little bit lazy.
Being a cool dude like the dudes. This is episode 171. What's Tom, it? Can you even start to believe it?
I can both believe it and dig it.
It's so groovy and rad, dude.
Woo! I'm throwing up peace signs.
Yeah. Neato, I think that's a bit earlier than the 70s, though.
Sure.
I think it's more like a 50s, 60s thing.
It's peachy.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. It might feel like everyone is in a scramble at the moment trying to get their submissions in for the annual egg cooking competition. The incredibly popular event that brings in thousands of visitors to our wonderful county will be held once again in the Convention Centre. This year's theme is poached, so organisers are making sure they have enough vinegar for the day. Balsamic, red wine and cleaning vinegars are all being stockpiled as emergency backups. Men with flowing hair, mullets included, and beards who wish to wear flannel shirts around town will be required to register with the Lumberjack Association of Watchersville as non-loggers. They have said with fashion as it is at the moment, the foremen are getting confused and docking pay of non-employees for not working. By ensuring all fashion victims' details are recorded, this issue should be resolved in no time. Penny Five and Some is starting up her exclusive book club again for people who don't like reading but like to be seen to be bookworms. Every second Tuesday of the month, those interested will gather in the little boring room at the town hall to have their photograph taken holding books and looking like they're discussing things like symbolism, character arcs, and red herrings in the narrative. These photos will then be posted and tagged on social media to impress old school enemies. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We've been watching WandaVision, The Return of Walking Dead.
I watched some cooking stuff, but we probably won't talk about it. James Vanderbeek was involved.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I believe he has moved to Austin, Texas, which is where a lot of people are moving to these days.
Sure.
I don't remember why I would have known where I would have seen that and why I would have pursued that story, but I did.
Everyone loves Beek.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that back in the day everyone gave him shit and he's redeemed his image so well.
Totally. Well, and also that meme of his where he was crying in Dawson's Creek, that's not really his fault. He was getting paid to do
that. And he owns it. He recreates that all the time when people ask him to.
I put him and Fred Savage in the same basket.
Fair, very
basket?
Fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was on a show called Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
I remember that TV show, but I also remember not watching it.
Kristen Ritter is the bee. The titular B in Apartment 23.
I think I got them that show mixed up with the waitresses.
Two Broke Girls.
Yes.
Very different. Don't Trust the B is great. It's really sassy.
And Two Broke Girls, that was fine. I think I only watched an episode
shit.
Or two.
Oh, shit.
Was it?
Yeah, it's hella racist.
Is it? I don't.
They just make fun of the Asian cook all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't make through an episode of that, really? But I've seen enough clips.
Yeah.
Is it Chuck Law? Is it Big Bang Theory guy?
Let's take a look at that.
I don't care enough to find out myself, so I'll let you investigate.
Investigation is underway. I'm going to go to, I don't know if you've heard of this website before, it's called IMDb.
The Internet Movie Dance Bureau.
That's right. I'm going to look up Chuck Law and see what comes up. Mom, Sheldon, Bob Hart's Abishola.
Bob Hart's Abishola, yeah.
Right. Big Bang Theory, Disjointed, Mike and Molly, Two and a Half Men. I don't think so because I've gone down to Dharma and Greg, which finished in 2002.
Sure.
But it does, yeah.
It feels like that sort of trash.
Oh, do you remember the show Grace Under Fire?
Yep.
I think there was something about her outside of the show as well. I can't remember what it was. Brett Butler. There was something. I will not look for the information now.
Yeah, let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast instead. All right. We have also got another one of those synopsis quizzes.
Oh, bring it.
This one's from the 2000s, so 2000 to 2010.
You know I enjoy those.
Yes, that's why we've endeavoured to get some a nice mixture, I think.
Nice. I got some hot trailers, a little bit of a handful of news.
Fantastic. I'm going to throw it at
all the listeners like they were hungry geese in the park.
Ah, you're very welcome.
Honk at this, bitches.
Okay, I got a really quick one for you.
Go.
Just pop this in your diary of things to watch. Maya Rudolph is hosting SNL on the 27th of March.
I made a note of that too.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was worthwhile because, well, we like her a lot.
Her second hosting gig.
Yeah, which is weird, right?
She left 14 years ago, I think.
A long time ago. Her Donatella Versace was always a highlight for me back in the day. But recently, I think I would imagine she's going to go out and do the Kamala Harris impersonation.
I bet there'll be a bit of that.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Nice. And I believe rapper Jack Harlow is the musical guest. Not that that means anything to anyone.
Especially not me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Don't worry. I handle the rap.
That's your bag.
Speaking of rap, I'm going to rap briefly about the Golden Globes in that I didn't watch it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know anyone who would have watched a Zoom version of the Golden Globes. No one watches the Golden Globes anyway.
Well, I was half reading an article just before that said its numbers were almost half of what it was last year.
Fair.
People are over it.
I saw pictures and Jeff Daniels was just in a hoodie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People just did not dress up for it at all. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's not the Golden Globes' fault. It's just we're all quite.
But I do blame the Globes because
why?
They gave best comedy film of the year to Borat 2 and best comedy actor to Sasha. And I feel this was Andy Samberg's year. He deserved it for Palm Springs. It was such a breakout from what we know him as.
Yeah.
The movie was great. And I'm pissed.
It also surprises me that Sasha got it.
Yeah.
Simply because I know it's called Borat too. But we've spoken about this. He was not the star. No. He was not the main character.
And she didn't win. She got pipped by bloody, what's that icy woman? She was in a Bond movie. And she's in that movie at the moment where she tricks old people.
Oh, she's got a stern haircut. Yeah. She scares me.
I've forgotten her name. It's something very sharp sounding as well. How have I forgotten this?
I'm going to click on a picture of her.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you her name is...
Rosamund Pike.
What's her name?
Rosamund Pike. Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike.
Look at that. I'd sat there for long enough and went through it and I said, I know it's a bloody weird initial combination. RP. Rosamund
really
Pike.
Good.
There we go.
That's really good.
I beat Google.
Yeah, I was not doing very good at the Googling. But
hey, don't diminish me.
No, you. Good point. I personally would never have gotten that.
So she got it for... over the amazing work in Borat 2. So that's what I mean by Golden Globes. What are you fucking doing?
Wait, are they both Amazon things?
Yep.
Yeah.
This was the first time Amazon had won a best film.
Ah, right.
Yes. So it was a very big deal for them. Congratulations. And this is definitely going to change the award ceremony procedures moving forward as to streaming is now counted. They've been trying to muscle their way in for years.
Yeah.
This is then counted now.
Yeah, this is it for sure. And the fact that, like a couple of years ago, I remember it being quite controversial that Netflix was nominated.
Yeah. Whereas this year, HBO Plus is putting out all of Warner's material. Like,
it's got to go
it's
somewhere.
It's got to count.
Yeah, exactly. I also saw that Indira Varma, who played, what was her name? She was Pedro.
Is it Ilaria Sand?
Yes, that's right. Pedro Pascal's.
Yeah.
In Game of Thrones. So she's going to be in the Obi-Wan show on Disney Plus. That's pretty cool.
Mm.
I like the fact that I have seen her now, well, I will now have seen her in about three proper big things where she's quite big roles and they're all really different.
Yes. Yes. She's definitely chameleons.
Yeah. I know that that's what actors are striving to be, but it...
Well, some of them,
yeah,
she's a character actor.
A character actor,
that's the goal. You want to disappear into the role and make people remember the role, and then you've got Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise was the one in my head too. He has done a couple of different things. I always think about his Tropic Thunder.
I was about to say the same. Tropic Thunder in the fat suit.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've banged on it about every fortnight this year, but Edge of Tomorrow, seeing himself die over and over and just gleefully, like you could see how much he's enjoying giving this gift to the audience.
Yeah, that's right.
He talked about it openly. He's like, part of the reason why I wanted to do this movie is I think it'd be really cathartic for people that are over me to watch me die painfully over and over and over. And you know, they might come back around to me and see that I'm actually kind of funny.
I think that that movie over time has become quite a cult.
It really
classic.
Has. Yeah. It really has. And deservedly so. It's very well made and it holds up to multiple watchings. So many of those films don't hold up quite as well.
Yeah.
But that one.
And it's I did see an article. Well, it was like a top 10 list of best Emily Blunt performances, and it was up there in the top.
And it's got the dude from Looking for Ella Brandy, Kip.
Oh, yeah, Kip.
Kip Gurry. Yeah.
Yeah, he did all right, actually.
He did all right. Tony Law's in there.
There's been a few different things over there. He's one of the Aussies done good, mate.
Yes.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I'm only going to give a quick summary of this. I read a very lengthy article about how in 2020, it was the first year since 2010 that there was less scripted television produced than the year before. So basically the last 10, 11 years has been viewed as peak TV, whereas every year has
Golden
grown
age.
Exponentially. I didn't write the figures down, but it was something like in 2010 there were 194 scripted programs shot over the year, and 2019 there were 534. So it was basically 150-something% increase over that time. It's impossible to watch all of it. And that's what's really been highlighted in the last year is some of the really big ratings breakout stuff has been either unscripted stuff or reruns and old stuff. Like Golden Girls did really, really well when COVID first kicked off and this sort of stuff. It's only going to get worse as things progress. Basically, some figures have come out that it now, a scripted program, thanks to the requirements of COVID for health, safety and insurance coverage, a scripted program costs roughly 30% more to make now. That is why we're seeing so many shows get cancelled. That is why we're seeing about 40% of the new premieres that we normally would have by this period for shows coming. And that's only going to slow down. However, on the flip side of things, reality shows, game shows, anything unscripted, that's where it's at. Because these are people that are, on the whole, appearing for one day. So you don't need to create the pod that all other productions do.
Yeah.
So these are people coming in, going, spacing is more available. And it's just cheap. You're using the same set over and over. There's not all the extra things. So that is why we're starting to see the prices right at night. In the States, right. There's a prime time version of Price is Right and stuff. We're going to see more game shows. We're going to see more reality shows. It sucks.
It kind of reminds me of the early 2000s whenever the writer's strike happened.
Correct.
And that was when reality TV
boomed.
That was the huge moment. And
and it killed scripted television. That's the reason why Heroes sucked. That's the reason why Lost stumbled for 2 years.
It's the reason why Sex and the City had such a short season for that one.
So many shows were kneecapped completely by that and didn't recover.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a similar thing at the moment, and it's why so many, you know, Stumptown was a big deal when that launched, or Whiskey Cavalier to a smaller extent.
Yep.
But, you know, some of these big dramas that they launched last year, Stumptown had great ratings and was really popular.
Did you see any of it?
I did. I watched the first couple of episodes. Pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not my sort of show, so I didn't stick with it.
Yeah.
But all that sort of show is just getting canned because it's not worth – the money they make from advertisers is not covering anymore. So
– so we could say that this is
the decline of the
golden age of
peak TV.
Yeah.
Golden age of TV is long past.
Okay.
This is peak TV. This
all right.
Slightly different terminology.
What was his name? Bill Collins used to do about it with movies.
He was the loveliest man. I met him.
He was lovely?
He
always seemed really lovely.
As lovely as you would hope.
That's nice.
If you were interested about movies, he was interested in you.
Okay. So you had a bit of a chat.
Yeah, we were.
Nice guy. I don't know. There's also a thing. It feels like we can catch a breath with this. It sounds terrible, but as an audience member, we can catch a breath.
Now is the time to go and rewatch Freaks and Geeks. Or if you've not watched The Wire, watch The Wire. Or, you know, there's all these. I think we're also going to get a lot more shows like Tiger King.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Documentaries that can be filmed in one location with a small amount of people and things like that. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And hopefully we don't get too many shitty pandemic-themed movies.
We've kind of been waiting, haven't we? And it's going to happen.
And it's funny watching other shows kind of deal with it. So Mr. Mayor that I've been watching, the Ted Danson show, that is set post-pandemic and is referred to as a reason why the previous mayor quit, because it was a shit time to be a mayor.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I've got another sort of COVID TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
So MasterChef in the UK is up to its 17th season. Like, it's been going for years. The Aussie one, I feel like it started off differently compared to the UK one. It's definitely evolved and they're quite different programs but now.
Didn't MasterChef start here and then they bought from us? I'm thinking My Kitchen Rules, aren't I? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
My apologies for messing up shit kitchen shows.
So what they're saying is that nothing much has changed for this season. They've still been making it because the two judges, one of them, Greg, the other guy's John, he's the Aussie, which I didn't know he was Aussie because he's been living over there for so long that he's accent English.
Okay.
So it wasn't until I heard someone go, "Oh, you're Aussie." I'm like, "Is he?" Anyway.
Is he an Aussie?
Anyway, Greg said that filming, the actual structural production of filming hasn't changed too much. He said, like, the studio hasn't changed because all the chefs or the cooks,
they've got their own workstations.
They've got their own workstations. So in that respect, nothing's changed. He said the only thing that's changed is that they used to go somewhere or the, you know, like overseas to a city and go and hang out at other big restaurants. And he said that hasn't been a thing, but they've still been able to get big name chefs from, you know, the UK to come in and be part of the show. And I reckon that's going to be the same thing for MasterChef here.
I agree. Look, I think Bake Off is in a good position because they're already in a tent outside.
That's right. And they don't get a lot of guests.
No. And look, I'll say, if they're not shooting back-to-back seasons of Making It, Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, they are insane, because if they're not working on a, you know, look, he's got here The Great North, the new animated series.
Yep. With Alanis, right? Alanis Morissette's in that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's got another Fox comedy or something as well. So they're both doing voiceover. They're busy.
Mm.
But, like, what a perfect time to be able to, you know, the 8 to 10 people in an outdoor shed making stuff.
Yep.
Just do it.
And people love that show too.
It's so good.
Absolutely love it. I saw that Nicole Byer said that there's a new season of Nailed It. That's cool.
I saw that and I got so excited that I made lunch for everybody and set it up in front of the TV and had it ready to go, and then it says March 26th. You son of a bitch. I thought it was February 26th.
This lunch has to wait. You can't eat it till then.
No, they just ate it.
Okay.
So there was a Lego leak this week. Sometimes we get movie news via Lego leaks, and it gave us the first kind of idea what Shang-Chi's costume is going to look like for the new Marvel movie.
Okay.
He looks kind of Bruce Lee-ish.
Right.
What a surprise.
So in the comic books, I mean, well,
so Shang-Chi is the master of Kung Fu.
Right.
And he's known for having the most serious punch in all of reality.
Wow.
He can channel his chi.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. I get you.
So he was created in the 70s as a mix between Bruce Lee and blaxploitation.
Mm-hmm.
So he quite often hung out with Luke Cage, Iron Fist, the street level guys.
Yep.
But very much against, you know, the triad and Asian gangsters and all this sort of stuff. And there's some awkward stuff to look at today, PC-wise.
I'm sure it won't be in the movie.
Way back then. But no, it won't be in the movie today. But the Lego set, not only do we see his costume, but he's fighting some sort of water or ice dragon.
Oh, that sounds good.
I'm very into that because we haven't had enough dragons come through in the Marvel universe, because as weird as this is in the Marvel comic universe, there are several dragons.
Really?
Yeah, including Fing Fang Foom.
Is that from, or has Fing Fang Foom got his own comic?
He does not have his own comic. He is a, imagine Godzilla mixed mm-hmm. with Pete's dragon. So a kind of goofy looking dragon that's an alien, can speak. Is
super powerful.
Very, 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 millions of years old. Mm-hmm. And he's normally slumbering somewhere just between beneath the Earth's surface. But he gets roused from time to time and wants to take shit down.
No. Must be grumpy too a bit, right?
He's very grumpy. He's quite often got something stuck in his foot or his teeth and he needs a bit of help.
Big guy, I mean.
But he also will often team up with your Dr. Dooms or your Iron Man or your big brains because he's very, very smart.
Right. Well.
Anyway, I don't know whether we will see Fing Fang Foom in Shang-Chi, but I wouldn't put it past it. If they're sneaking dragons in already, they've got to have Father of Dragons.
Fingers crossed.
Big time.
Yeah, okay. Well, when does that movie come out? Do we know?
I believe June.
Gee, that's
maybe
soon.
Maybe July because we've got Black Widow in early May and then Shang-Chi straight after and then Eternals in November or December.
It's all happening.
The Eternals, there was a poster that came out or a picture or something of some of them in costume and it looks great.
Awesome.
Apparently, I have really good feelings about this movie, about Eternals. They are as obscure as Guardians of the Galaxy were, but this is going to be like some royal family type shit fed into the Marvel Universe. It's going to be some really cool powers. It's got Jolie, Kit Harington,
Connie from The Walking Dead. Still looking for
Don Lee from Train to Busan.
Yes.
Kumail Nanjiani.
That's right. He's in it. You remember he had to get ripped and showed the world?
And Kit Harington is not in the pictures. He doesn't. He's not an Eternal.
Oh, that's right. You said he wasn't. Wait, what's his character's name again?
All right, so he's playing a guy named Dane Whitman, who is the Black Knight. Knight carries the titular black sword or it has different names and stuff, but basically this sword corrupts the soul of whoever is holding it and demands blood.
So he's a bad guy?
No, he's very much an anti-hero.
Right.
So think medieval Punisher, but driven by bloodlust. And he has to put the sword down to have a clear thought. And it gets worse and he goes quite schizophrenic. And where he's at in the comics now, he narrates himself in ye olde English annoyingly out loud to try and keep his brain straight. So everyone around him can't stand him because he's falling apart. Now, the best part as well is he's descended from, the Arthur's court. Merlin gifted this sword to supposedly the member of the table with the strongest will. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about being the greatest leader or anything. It was the one who could withstand the most thing. It kind of looks like it's more that Merlin chose the one who had the most corrupted soul intentionally tells them that they're a hero. So it's a way of finding the worst person possible, giving them this thing and then steering them towards doing something productive, not good, productive.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. He's descended from Arthurian legend. Uh-huh. He's an American frat boy who puts on a British accent to try and make people think he's a knight.
I am so intrigued to see how Kit Harington does
this. Oh, my God. So if he comes in all boisterous as the knight and then something happens and he drops the sword and the bro voice comes out. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's going to be funny.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So I think they're introducing him in order to give him a film, or I would prefer a TV series for him later, because I think bumbling American knight in the Marvel Universe.
In a series as well, like you can really lay into that more heavily.
I think it's no coincidence that they're introducing dragons in Shang-Chi because, Arthurian legend has to go and slay a dragon.
Oh, my gosh. He's accidentally become the messed up version of Jon Snow.
Yep. That's the brilliance behind this casting of everyone's going to see him and just be like, oh, he's playing Jon Snow again. And then the movie will begin and they'll be like, he's pretending.
That sounded really fun.
I know that was a long thing to go from just a Lego leak, but it filled between that and the image, it filled in a lot of gaps for me. Like, ooh, maybe this is
But before we move on.
Yeah.
Is
your question, is Thanos an Eternal?
No.
Technically.
Come on. No,
he is. Yeah, well, he's a descendant. There are Titans who are descendants of the Eternals, so he's technically been created from their genetic code. So they feel somewhat responsible for the fact that he is out there.
That'd be part of the combo, right? Of the storyline of the.
I imagine, unless they decide to separate that kind of. But basically there's Eternals and Deviants, and they were put here billions of years ago, and they're Earth's protectors, and they die and come back. And the Eternals are constantly in a war with Deviants, who we would see Deviants as werewolves, monsters, ghosts, things that spook us, whatever. The abnormal human is what they're at. And Thanos is of that lineage, but not technically one of them, because his great-grandparents were created in a test tube or something by the Eternals, and they were experimenting. And then, yeah, generations later, there was this horrible, horrible backfiring. So now that Thanos is gone, it may not be a thing. But on the flip side, it's a really good reason for them to reveal themselves to the world of like, hey, sorry that our great-great-grandson fucked up.
How are we to know? Like, how is that a thing? My actual question was nowhere near as interesting, and I'm glad that you went along there. I was just like, do you reckon Kit Harington will have to have his luscious locks, or will it be short hair?
I'm hoping he's in a backwards baseball cap.
He could have like an early 90s haircut.
That'd really could. Right. Look, he's going to spend most of his time with an open-mouthed knight helmet on.
It won't matter about his hair.
No, and it's gone through many different iterations, and at one stage he had a knight helmet that looked like a baseball hat backwards and stuff. All this. Oh, he's such a fucking drongo.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, I'm so here for it. It's going to be great fun.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the Watchers on Twitter and Instagram.
Did you hear that Tom and Jerry, the movie,
yes,
made a fair bit of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the weekend in the US, I think it was just under $14
million. Mm. It's out April 1st here, and Shay has already booked me.
She's ready.
Promise.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Oh, we'll have a great time. It'll be such a fun movie. Chloe Grace Moritz is in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Michael Pena, even if he's painful. Even if the film is painful, he'll be great.
He'll be fantastic. Yeah. I think that, what's his name? Tenant bloke?
David Tennant?
No. Who's the director of Tenant?
Christopher Nolan. Thank you want him to do a Tom and Jerry film?
No, I just think that he's going to be a bit annoyed because Tenant didn't make anywhere near as much as Tom and Jerry did.
Because he made something that you have to see at IMAX, blah, 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 blah. Yep. No, make something for kids.
Yeah.
What was one of the biggest last year? Sonic.
That's right. Yep.
Go Four Quadrant if you want to be big.
I'm thinking that, because there was this whole thing in the article that was talking about, and movie theaters are and goers are feeling positive after this news. I'm like, just quell your expectations
a bit. Down. Yeah. Wait until you get a Marvel movie out. Then we've actually got a barometer of whether people are ready to go back.
Yep. So when will that be?
Should be May.
So that is coming to theaters?
Oh,
that's why they held off last year, so it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
It's too much money to not.
Fair enough, yeah. Anything else before we get into trailers?
One last one. I don't know if you saw, but Spider-Man 3 had about 14 different names.
It was so confusing on Twitter that day.
It was pretty
good. Like, which one is it?
Putting out the shit posting and meme pages had a lot of fun. But it is settled as Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay.
Which, if we're going multiversal, makes me very interested.
So there are some clues, you reckon, within that name as to where things could go.
Yep.
Okay. So Toby's there for sure.
I really hope so. I really hope this pans out.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell, I don't know if he'll be in this one, but he posted a photo that he was in London filming with a certain director on a certain movie, and I'm certainly excited. He's best friends with Sam Raimi. He's been in every Sam Raimi film. Sam Raimi is in London directing Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah. That's
maybe we will finally get. So in each of the original Spider-Man movies, Bruce Campbell played a different role. In the first one, he's the man, the ring announcer, I believe, who gives Spider-Man his name at the wrestling match. The second one, he's a very difficult usher at the theater and refuses to let Peter sit when he's late for the show. And then the third one, he's a maitre d' in a restaurant. There was long rumors that in the fourth film, he was going to be Mysterio. And that he had been playing roles throughout the other films trying to get closer to Spider-Man. I really hope this pans out. I would be happy with a 1 minute brief cameo of a world where Bruce Campbell's special effects genius is Mysterio in a damn fishbowl head.
It all happened.
Oh boy.
I was here the whole time.
That would make me chuckle.
That's fun.
Yes, and they released two photos of where they're at, and the internet got to sleuthing and found that the floorboards of the place where so there was a shot of Peter, MJ, and Ned looking at a book in a dusty room, and someone found out that the floorboards matched the floorboards in Doctor Strange's house, but maybe not in the New York location, maybe in the Hong Kong location.
Okay. How did they get to Hong Kong? It's quarantine time. Oh, I could just do a little bit of Doctor Strange. Could just do a little bit of
yellow hands.
Yeah, and that'll be fine. Ah, cool. Good bit of. I like when you get little snippets of news, and then everybody goes, right, let's figure this out.
Yep. There's a mystery afoot.
Yes, exactly. Give us some trailers.
All right, I've got three. We're going to go
three trailers. Three trailers.
The first one I saw was for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
What do you reckon?
Coming to Netflix. It looks like it's going to be dumb fun. I'm there for it. I absolutely adore his version of Dawn of the Dead, even though it stripped out most of the social commentary that the original one had. Whatever. It was a big budget zombie film done well with good fun. I hope this will be fun as well. I believe James Gunn may have been involved in some of the early scripting of this. Same deal. He wrote Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching this as well. I think I mentioned this last week, but the fact that it is on Netflix quells expectations, and I know I'm going to go in there and just watch a bit of fun.
That's it. We're going to see some big burly men die horribly.
And we like the whole premise of that. Let's do a casino heist in the middle of a zombie pandemic. Like, is it
so? There were some more details that came out. So it's not a full worldwide pandemic. It's only Vegas. And it happened 6 years ago, and they erected borders and barriers and just shut off Vegas. And in 32 hours' time or something like that, they're finally going to bomb Vegas and destroy all of it.
Oh, so you got to go and get the
money. A rich casino owner is sending this team in to go and get his money from the safe.
Even better.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Isn't what a great premise. Awesome. Okay, I get it. So it's not the world's fallen or anything like that. And from what I understand, most of these soldiers already fought their way out of Vegas, and that's why they're the team that's put together or something.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good
fun. I'm there for this. I believe that's May or no, March 26th.
It's soon.
In May, and I'm disappointed it's on Hulu because we can't get it here, but the MODOK animated show is finally coming out. Now, MODOK is a Marvel character. It stands for mental organism designed only for killing.
Okay.
Now, George Tarleton was a janitor for AIM, AIM Industries or AIM Robotics in the film, but the Advanced Idea Mechanics. Mm-hmm. They are super scientists for evil. They wear yellow beekeeper suits. Mm-hmm. He was their janitor, and they needed to do an experiment on someone, and so they shoved him in the chair, and it blew his head up, made his arms and legs tiny, and he now needs a floating chair to get around because he's a giant head the size of a car. And he's so angry. And my dream casting for it was Peter Dinklage. But they've got Patton Oswalt.
Yep.
And he's written
that's
it.
That's right.
He's starring it, he's producing it, and it's so bang on.
Yeah.
For a while, MODOK was a scary character in the comics, and then everyone realized just how dumb he was, and now he's there. So if Deadpool is the hero that breaks the fourth wall and stuff, MODOK is the villain.
Cool.
He's that smart that he knows and all this. This show could be bonkers. He's going to kill his own guys all the time.
So it goes to Hulu. But
we'll get that a little while later.
Potentially.
Amazon Prime.
Okay. Because I was like, potentially SBS On Demand.
I think it'll go one of the streamers first.
Sure. That makes sense.
No news on that. And then the third one, which only dropped late last night, and it was a very short little thing, but is one for Netflix called Jupiter's Legacy. Now, this is a comic by Mark Miller.
Right.
Who he wrote Kick-Ass. I'm trying to think of other ones he's had adapted. So Kick-Ass 1 and 2. He is largely responsible for the Avengers movies, he wrote a series called The Ultimates, which was putting the Avengers in the real world of how they would behave and act. He was the one that came up with the idea of Samuel L. Jackson, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So he signed a exclusive first look deal with Netflix about a year and a half ago with all of the comics he has written and ones that he has coming up for them to potentially turn into properties and stuff. And he's got some amazing stories. One I'm desperately hanging for, and Ridley Scott was going to direct it at one point. Yeah. It's called Nemesis, and that's the idea of what if Bruce Wayne's parents had been killed by a cop, and so Bruce Wayne becomes the Joker. So imagine in the Batman suit, but with the mentality of the Joker of I'm going to take down justice. So I'm hanging for that to be a film. Anyway, Jupiter's Legacy is the story of some explorers who pre-World War II found a weird island that maybe gifted them some powers, and they become the archetype heroes that we know from plenty of different comics.
Right.
And we are now following the story of Superman and Wonder Woman's children living in the shadow of their parents. So how would Gen X, basically superheroes, deal with the fact that their parents were the, you know, the brave and the bold, the brightest? Mm. Josh Duhamel is the main dude and stuff.
Wait, is this animated?
No.
Okay.
Live action. It's got the potential for some pretty cool. There's some, some fucked up gear in there. Again, it's a very it's pretty adult.
Yep.
But yeah, it's all about that idea of can you step out of a very large shadow? And the comic's pretty great, so I'm amped for this.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I'm deliberately dancing around a lot of things here.
Yeah.
More so than I normally do.
Okay. I might ask afterwards.
Maybe do, but maybe don't.
Okay.
This is a good one to just dive in.
Okay, all right.
In the, you know how I was dancing very heavily around Invincible?
Yep.
It's like that.
Okay.
There's going to be some twists early on that
are worth enjoying.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. Yes. All right, so that's obviously not for a while, but.
No, it's pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah, they've kept it really, really quiet, but yeah, not too long till that one.
Oh, geez, I was just expecting that to be all right, and they're thinking they've signed it.
No, there's a trailer, there's pictures, all this stuff. So yeah, they've been working on his stuff for a while. They have another one that I really hope they do called American Jesus.
Is that Jesus?
No, but what if a little boy was raised to believe he was the Messiah, but maybe was from the wrong way?
You've got me fascinated.
What if the Antichrist was actually raised as the Messiah? Yep. That face you're making.
It's from something else. Good Omens, maybe.
Yep. So they, it's kind of like that, but this is no one knows.
Mm.
No one at all knows.
Okay.
Except him.
Oh, so he does know.
Yeah. He keeps it very quiet. So it's kind of Silence of the Lambsy.
Hmm.
He starts playing with everyone around him and stuff and turning more and more evil. And then there's a second volume which is following the rise of an actual Messiah.
Oh.
It's good. It's really good. He is amazing at writing an elevator pitch or coming up with an idea that makes you go, oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And then stumbling on the actual payoff.
Ah, it's a shame.
Not in a bad way, but like his stuff, the ending oftentimes isn't quite as satisfying as the premise led it to believe.
Yeah, I get
but
you.
It doesn't matter because the journey is always great. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, right. Well, that's worthwhile.
He also wrote Wanted.
Oh, yeah.
With McAvoy. So yeah, right. You know what I mean? He's busy.
He's behind a lot of stuff.
He's a big deal. He's a big deal, Mark Miller. Very angry Scottish man.
Does he wear kilts?
I have seen him in kilts, yes. He does that.
Good.
But he's very accessible to his fans.
Good, good, good.
If you want to hear an angry Scrot.
He'll have a go.
Being pissed off at Grant Morrison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He has no problem taking down other Scottish comic book writers, which I really respect. Get out of my trailer.
Whoa!
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We will be talking about WandaVision and The Walking Dead very soon. But I want to know what else you've been watching this week.
Sure. So I finally got around to watching Train to Busan 2, aka Peninsula. If you live in South Korea, you probably only know it as Peninsula. But to the rest of the world, it got released as Train to Busan Peninsula.
And?
I quite enjoyed it. As a zombie movie, it was great. As a sequel to Train to Busan, not much chop.
Okay, that's interesting.
That first one was so intense, being trapped inside the train. Only a handful of characters that we're following and stuff. Mm. This one is set 4 years after that day.
Okay.
The rest of the world quarantined South Korea and built walls and nothing gets in or out. Or so they thought. Again, a team gets sent in. There's a truck that's been left there with millions of dollars that was trying to be transported out of the city.
Are they going to get the guys from Army of the Dead?
They should have. They should have. No, what they're left with a few military personnel that were they're all refugees. If you were from South Korea, you can't get citizenship in any other country because they're worried there may be an infection still in your blood in some way.
Wow.
So this guy who was a captain in the army is now homeless, and he gets offered with a few other people to go in for this team. And things, as you would imagine, go poorly very quickly.
Yeah.
Being South Korean, the emotions of it are very, very heightened. Anytime right. someone dies, there is screaming on the knees and howling at the moon.
That's what you want, right?
Oh, you so do.
Yeah.
Very, very broad caricature characters. You know, there's the insane sergeant undermining the captain. There's the captain who's just trying to find a way to escape himself.
Mm-hmm.
Many people were left behind and locked inside the quarantine and have found ways to get around dealing with the zombies and stuff like that. It's gone very Mad Max.
I like this.
So as I say, as a zombie movie, great fun. As a sequel to the first one, that first one was something different.
Well, yeah, exactly.
This is cookie cutter zombie.
Yeah, okay.
But big budget, some fantastic car stunts.
Not like the second Matrix down the highway for 10 hours.
No, like Tokyo Drift.
Oh, okay.
Like basically the city is a car park because everyone abandoned their cars and stuff. So there's very particular routes that you can take. And there's a teenage girl who's gotten very, very good in a little hotted up hatchback.
A little Corolla.
It's kind of halfway between something from Tokyo Drift and a armored bus.
Oh, right. Well, you would need it to be, wouldn't you? A bit of plastic bumper bar's not going to do anything there anymore. Hmm.
So good fun. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it if you've seen the first one.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, it's watched the first one because it's...
You won't know what's amazing. Going on otherwise. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you'll still know. There's zombies.
Yeah, okay.
The first one you never find out anything about anyway. It's just they're on the train and then they're not.
Yeah. Synopsis.
That's that movie. People attempt to take a train and die.
Much different to Snowpiercer, which I'm still watching week to week.
Enjoying it still?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns. It's become... Because we're like maybe half of the way through the second season. It's very different to the movie now.
Of course, sure.
There's a lot going on. But Trevor from Stephen Ogg from
Oh yes,
he's in there just causing chaos. But we've seen this week's episode. We saw a little bit of actual proper human emotion from him.
Gosh,
where potentially he has been affected by the horrible things or the murders or the killings that he's done just to get by or just to show off or whatever, starting to hit him emotionally.
Okay.
And maybe he doesn't want to be that anymore. So quite interesting. There's some really cool stuff.
Maybe a Negan-esque redemption in the future.
A little bit like that, actually, yeah. Jennifer Connelly's character still remains the most intriguing to me. How you can make someone who, not so much in the second series, but how you can make someone be the villain of the train, but also the redeemer of the train as well.
Sure.
All at the same time. It's interesting. Very sure. interesting.
So is she playing a similar to Ed Harris role in the first one, or is there not really is she Chris Evans?
She's not Chris Evans.
Is that David?
That's David Diggs. Yeah.
Who's Song, the engineer? So that's the dude from Parasite.
Yeah, right.
And the host and Memories of Murder and every film that director Bong has done.
Yeah.
He's
such a good
Sang guy. Is it Sang Kang Ho, I think?
I can't remember the names. I can't remember. I reckon it might almost be time for me to rewatch the movie.
It's a good movie.
I only watched it once, and that was a while ago now.
It's good.
It stayed with me, but now that we're sort of talking about it, I'm like, maybe I don't remember as much.
I watched the premiere of the show and then went and rewatched the movie.
Mm.
And I haven't gone back to the show since then. Not that there was anything wrong with it, but
it's
too much.
Too much going on.
You already put your hand up for it.
I did, and I'm continuing to do that. Another show I've just caught the first couple of episodes on, Age of Samurai. On Netflix, it's a doco with reenactments in it. For me, my knowledge of Japanese history is me reading the intro bit of A Lonely Planet book years ago. So, you know, I know basics, but nothing too in-depth. And it's really cool to delve into it because, you know, like around the 1400s, 1500s, I think knights, surfs.
Yeah, you got your Western eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
On.
And this is almost the same but different at the same time. Like they still had all of that.
Yeah, you got Ronin and
it's
samurai.
Great.
And
yeah. Loving it. So I definitely don't need to watch more than one episode at a time because it's a lot of info.
Sure.
But, you know, it's good to have on whilst you're having dinner or something like that where you can sit there and watch it. They try to make all the reenactments as gory as possible. Like I don't think one reenactment has not featured a beheading of some sort.
Well,
got to use the sword somehow, right?
Yeah. I'm sure that's how it was.
Yeah. It would have been.
Did they talk about – is there seppuku?
Yes, that was in the first episode. Yeah, I think it's featured another time as well.
It's a big thing.
It's a thing.
It's a real thing, and it's something that I don't think we could wrap our heads around because that's not how we were raised.
Form of protest and a form of trying to make things change.
Yeah, and to closure is such an important part of that society, you know, of respect. And
it's all about respect, isn't it? Yep. I don't know how much you know or remember from the land of Japan in the around the feudal times, but it's not worth it, it's quite worth having a watch.
I'm not ashamed to say that my early knowledge of feudal Japan came from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Perfect.
3.
Look, as long as you got it somewhere.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time, that's
I think
right.
That's what it was, Turtles in Time. It was a Turtles in Time animated series as well.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you been watching?
So I watched the two-hour premiere of Superman and Lois, which is the new CW spin-off from the Arrowverse. But
fair bit of hype about this one.
Asterix.
What?
Doesn't really seem to attach to the Arrowverse much at all so far, which is a good thing.
Mm.
Is a different tone. It's far more mature. So this is the story of Superman and Lois. They're a little bit older, and they have twin sons who are teenagers, and Kal-El is terrified that one or both children will inherit his powers or some combination of them. They need to return to the Kent family home on the farm for reasons I won't get into and stuff like that. But then this premiere episode is about should they stay and move away from the busy city life and give his kids a better chance. One of them, Jonathan, who is a name very synonymous with Superboy in comics and stuff like that, who is their actual son that we know about. He's represented as you would expect of, you know, he's go-getter, he's very sporty, very boisterous, and everyone loves him. So he's got Clark's Superman personality.
Mm.
And the other son, Jordan, has crippling social anxieties and has to see therapists and this sort of stuff. And he seems to have inherited all of Clark's conscience.
Interesting.
And it's a really interesting dynamic. Mm. And I won't go into it, but by the end of the premiere, only one of them has powers. I think I've probably tipped my hand as to which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I feel like I...
Which way do you think?
I think it's Clark Kent.
Well,
what was his name? Not Jonathan.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah, so the angsty emo son.
The one who doesn't want it.
Correct. The one who doesn't, who would feel it's a burden, who just wants to blend in and be normal, will not have an opportunity to do that. Superman gets the shit beat out of him by someone in an armored costume.
Iron Man?
Well, it's funny you say Iron Man because the name reveal of who that person in the suit at the end, it's no big, it's Captain Luther, which is not how Luther is known. Lex Luthor is known, you know, the Lex Luthor that has been against this Superman in the Arrowverse already. He's played by John Cryer.
All right.
From 2.5
Yeah,
Men.
That's right. Forgot about that.
So this is going to be a completely, I think it's a Lex coming over from another part of the multiverse because we just had the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems far more serious. This show was way more dour than I was expecting. Mm. It's not a downer. But it is a grown-up drama. It's not this. It's not the teen lovey-dovey crap that the other CW ones can fall into.
Yeah,
this is a lot more about grief, sorrow, ostracization, trying to find your own place. What happens if there is no place for you?
Do you think they're trying to offer this program for the people who have been watching the Arrowverse-y stuff for years and but are a bit older than they were?
I think it's a combination of two things. One, exactly what you're saying. That's the first one. Secondly, it's for people that grew up watching Smallville that are becoming parents themselves.
Ah, of course.
So it's the cycle now of watched him being raised and experimenting with this stuff. Now we're going to watch him trying to teach someone else that.
That's really cool.
So I enjoyed it. I'm going to be sticking around with it. It's really nice to have another Arrowverse show that isn't – I gave Batwoman a real crack. I really
It wasn't
did.
For you.
It really wasn't for me. I love Legends of Tomorrow and I love Flash. But
You can't watch everything.
I can't watch all of them. So I'm really intrigued by this idea. Superman no longer has a job. He got fired. Not fired. There was a – This is the other thing that was weird. This show is weirdly timely in it's all about America's economy being crippled and whether America can pull itself out of that hole or whether it needs to look to multi-billionaires to pull them out. So it's, should we be hinging hopes on someone like a Lex Luthor, who is clearly Trump? The Daily Planet gets downsized when it gets bought out and so Clark loses his job.
Sure, that makes sense.
All this sort of stuff. So it's, the town is very run down and beat up. Smallville, when they're back in there, all this sort of stuff. It's pretty cool. It's a lot more timely.
Is it good to have a weekly show?
Yeah, damn straight.
Kind of like The Walking Dead.
Yep. So we get 6 episodes of that. Flash comes back. Might be next week.
Okay, that's soon. And
I don't care if it's bad.
You're a part of it.
Yep.
Yep.
I need some things, man. I need the things I enjoy. It used to be that I had a couple of things a week that made me go, yes. And now it's a couple of times a month.
Yeah, I know. It's very different. But, I mean, I mentioned The Walking Dead and like, we were texting yesterday.
Yes.
And it was like, it's nice to have
it. Should we get into it?
We might as well.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to have something back apart from WandaVision that is a weekly show.
And there's something that we've had for years.
This sounds weird, but like the stakes to have to think and talk about it are much lower.
Yeah.
So it's almost like to the point where I enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to come out and say I enjoyed it a lot more than I normally would have, and I gave it way more of a free pass than I would have because you could see the efforts they were going to produce this. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but I thought this was brilliant. There was no shot of multiple zombies at any time.
No.
I only ever had 3 at a time or – it was a shadow.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of shots when they were going through those shipping containers where it flicked to the ground and we saw multiple shadows of zombies lurching as a group. And then whenever we'd see the shot, they'd be very spread out.
Yeah, one each. Yeah, one each had a go at a zombie. I also liked, because this is I think the beginning of them filming during the pandemic,
yes.
Right? This was the first thing. So what I liked also was it was just Daryl and Maggie, was literally just telling him about what she'd been up to.
I was going
to
say, that scene, I would bet $2,000 on this. An executive came to the show and said, we'll give you some money for 6 extra episodes if by the end of today you can send us a detailed, like give us a scene of something that you could do. And that's what they wrote.
That's what they did. But it kind of works within the world because that's how people would find things out. I'm just going to sit down and tell you what's happened.
Yep. You either write it down or you talk it or that's it. It's lost.
Yep. So that I really like that.
Or you'd be a dickhead and run around with a camera like Morgan and the Fear Crew.
That's
that
right.
That happened very poorly for me.
And it worked. Yeah, exactly.
I'm excited to see what happens with Negan. I've read that we'll be getting proper flashbacks for him.
Yes.
Later this.
Yep.
In this. So we get the 6 episodes. And yeah, it's weird, but I didn't care about any quality of it. There were... So I reckon there was 4 minutes of people walking in silence, in slow-mo shots. I don't care if that's what you've got to do to pad it out. I don't care. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's nice to have a slightly different pace.
Yeah.
What I thought was refreshing was the guy in the mask. I was like, here we go. This is a character. I mean, this happened.
They're
going to drag this out. And then she was just like, can you pull that mask off your face? And he's like, okay.
And he's just a kid.
It's the same as her.
It was very ballsy because they had the potential to build him up to be a Jesus or a fan favorite character that's not from the comics.
Yeah.
Not saying Jesus would, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
create something fresh there. And instead they've undercut it. And I quite like that.
Me too.
It's a different way that they would usually
play.
It's not
what I was expecting. So, yeah, I'm now genuinely looking forward to sitting down and enjoying that once a week.
Now, did you catch what the guy in the ghillie suit that pulled the pin and went boom?
Potentially a reaper, I think she was calling. Yep.
Did you catch what he said?
No.
Because everyone struggled with it. I went back and listened several times and I was an idiot. I should have just turned on the closed captions because someone posted up.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
He said, Pope marked you.
Pope marked you. Now, is Pope from the comic books?
Pope means nothing to me. So I'm guessing Pope is going to be the leader of the Reapers if they're coming to claim souls.
Yep.
Then the Pope would be a good leader for that. If Pope has marked someone, that's why they're hunting. What has Maggie done that she didn't tell Daryl? Because there's clearly something that she and Georgie or Georgia, whatever her name, that she made a point. They visited places and they inevitably fell.
Yeah.
Their system didn't work.
Yeah.
So it sounds like these are people who've been fucked over hunting down. Maggie, bless her, I don't think she's ever admitted guilt for anything. She's a...
very righteous and has been for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember her stance back when she was the leader of Hilltop. Like, it didn't really matter about any other community to her.
Her people first. So... That's where I'm guessing things might. She's going to be all holier than now about it. And it's weird now with she's the longest serving character behind Daryl and Carol.
Yep. Yeah, she came in second season, right? Let's see how she goes because I think you're right. And I think Negan's going to be the one that will pull that out of her. It's not necessarily a fall from grace, but...
I'll say it now. By the end of this season, Negan and her will team up to defeat the Reapers in a clear repeat of Negan saving the day against the Whisperers. That way, everyone's on board with Negan being present.
Yeah.
We go into season 11 with a clean slate.
Final season.
This is what will happen.
Yeah. Ooh, all right, let's get into WandaVision because a lot happened in that one. Did you get very strong A Christmas Carol vibes?
Oh, yeah, it was Christmas Carol mixed with – it was brilliant. Instead of being a piss take of a sitcom this week, it was a piss com of the sitcom trope of the flashback episode or the clip show.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. It was a clip show from movies and stuff with extra bits stapled together. I thought it was great.
Mm. I like her.
She's very good. I got quite choked up at a few points.
Was that the bit with Vision sitting on the bed?
No, just after? I got a lot more choked up when she was watching television with her family because I knew what was coming. And then watching it happen and having that realization of like, oh, she had the power already. Mm-hmm. That's how they're introducing mutants.
Mm.
You know, she was a mutant all along and didn't know. And the Mind Stone... fuck things up more for her. There was that cool flash of her in her comic costume in the yellow when the Mind Stone's touching her.
That's right.
I
don't think Agatha is a bad guy.
No.
She just wanted to find out what the hell was going on. She's found out now.
And I think the purpose of that first scene, sure, was to show that other witches were fighting her, but I think part of it was to show that she didn't initially have control of her own powers. Mm. It didn't look like she made the purple light come out.
Nope.
It was an involuntary thing of pushing back.
That's right.
So she's probably
Stop hurting me.
She's probably seeing a lot of herself in Wanda and is there to help.
Yeah.
And like I said a few weeks ago, I still think maybe Wanda might have cast her as the villain rather than her acting villainous.
Mm. I think we saw that.
But I could be completely wrong.
No, I think it was leaning towards that.
Hayward is definitely the villain.
Yeah.
Making a white Vision. I knew it was coming. And I purposely bit my tongue and didn't say anything because it was going to be too good a reveal if it did happen.
That was a great reveal.
So here's, let me put on my tinfoil hat for it. I think that's James Spader.
Oh, okay.
I think that's Ultron. I think they've accidentally turned Ultron back.
That makes sense.
Right? Because it may be Vision's body, but Vision was in the stone.
That's
the
right.
Stone is gone. Vision glows yellow, Ultron glows blue.
Was he glowing blue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In the beginning of that movie,
when they're a computer virus and they're the two computers fighting.
He was blue.
Yes. I think Hayward has accidentally turned Ultron back on. Oh,
that
boy,
sounds like someone called Haywood would do.
Do you want to know why I think that's the final
of
piece of the puzzle?
Of course they do.
Because that's more family drama.
Because
that's what this show has been, a fucked up family drama sitcom. And how do you make it even more complicated? By bringing in Vision's dad.
Yeah. We were talking about Negan and Maggie before. It's almost that kind of drama as well.
Yep.
Mixed in there. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does tie in quite well.
I could be completely wrong, but I just got to, how do you not put James Spader in there somewhere?
There, I've heard his name mentioned a couple of times, so.
That could be. So there was an interview that Paul Bettany did like a week or two ago where he's like, by the end of it, you're going to see there's someone I get to work with that I've wanted to work with my entire life. I'm so excited by. Mm-hmm. So people are like, well, maybe it's Patrick Stewart. Maybe it's.
Yeah,
Michael
right.
Fassbender, maybe it's James Spader, and it's looking like maybe it was himself.
It was himself all along.
He gets to play against Vision, and maybe that he's just the greatest troll that ever lived.
This could be a thing.
The person he's always wanted to work with but never had an opportunity.
Big man himself.
I'll give him props if he pulls that off.
I can't believe this show's almost finishing.
Yep. I did see, so there have long been rumours that there would be a secret 10th episode because there is a 1 week gap between WandaVision ending and Falcon and the Winter Soldier beginning.
What do you think?
We have the behind the scenes episode in that. There's not a spoiler, but a verifier, we'll say, on Reddit who's come out with the episode length and confirmed that there is no episode 10.
Ah.
So
okay.
Stop getting your hopes up for that like
yeah.
I was.
Yep.
Enjoy this one this week. I believe it's 50 minutes with credits, so it's the longest episode.
Okay. Do you remember that a few weeks ago they were like, oh, the last novel are going to be over an hour long? That didn't happen, no. But that's all right. Need to just tell the story. And we're happy with that. Anything else before we get into this quiz?
I'm walking backwards through the episode. No, I think I'm good.
Okay, good. It's synopsis time for the 2000s.
Did you just have a stroke? A
little bit.
You sound like you had a stroke.
I was trying to figure out what was going on. Just like last week, except we've gone a decade up. Overly enthusiastic guitarist blank gets...
School of Rock.
I saw it. I was like, I've got to put this one in.
Nice. I like that.
Just to see how far. So that was very, very good. 2003. I can't believe it's that old.
I can.
Well, you watched it about 4 million times a few years ago.
Yep. And saw the live show a whole bunch and had the soundtrack in the car.
Does it get watched at home still?
Not nearly as much. But it will come back because Lily will discover it at some point and Shay will remember.
Yeah. Okay. The main character is a woman in a tight spot. Following a car accident in which she's not at fault, she pleads with her attorney, Ed. I think I'll just say the actor's name because I think you might need a bit of help. Albert Feeney.
Oh, is this Aaron Brockovich?
Oh, yes, nice. Okay. Good. You know, I realised I've never seen
this once you
movie.
Said tight spot, I was like, I think this is Aaron Brockovich, but I've got to hang in there.
I'm very impressed.
I don't know my Grishams and all of that, so it could have been a Pelican Brief or
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, not The Rainmaker, though. That's Matt Damon.
No one would ever do that. From the year 2000, that was. After many years away, television bit actor returns to his small home in New Jersey to attend his mother's funeral.
Oh, Gross Point Blank. No, that's the Hitman one.
No. Okay. There he's confronted by various aspects of his life that he left behind, including his overbearing father. He meets a compulsive liar and amateur musician, played by Natalie Portman, with...
Are you talking about Garden State?
Yes.
Oh, God.
2004. Wow. I don't remember any part of that movie.
Didn't watch it.
That synopsis did not ring a bell at all.
There you go. I didn't watch it.
And you still got it.
Oh, it was indie.
Garden State.
Yeah. It was. I was listening to Death Cab for Cutie at the time, so I was aware of the film.
Okay.
All right.
The Hoover family, a man, his wife, an uncle, a brother, and a grandfather.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes! Very good.
Thank you.
2006. Based on a story by the science fiction writer I'm going to say it anyway. Philip K. Dick.
This, Scanner Darkly.
No, ooh. This movie was an action detective thriller set in Washington, D.C. in 2054, where police utilize a psychic technology to arrest and convict murderers. Yeah, yes, before they commit their crime.
Precognitions.
A famous actor plays, you know him, and he himself is accused of the future murder of a man he hasn't even met yet.
Oh, what's this fucking called?
Two words.
Minority Report.
Yes, 2002.
I was so hung up on iRobot then, and you could hear, I jumped in on a Scanner Darkly, and then I'm just like, oh, which one to Keanu? Because it was...
Yeah.
Good one. You stumped me there. Well done.
And that was one of the ones I was sure you were going to get straight away.
I knew it, right? Yeah. I just... It was,
the name was... Yeah. Once you get something stuck in your head...
And I've seen a lot of Philip K. Dick.
Okay,
fair. I love that man.
Fair. Last one.
Yes.
I reckon you'll get this one. I'm going to say the character's name. Leonard is tracking down the man who raped and murdered his wife. The difficulty, however, of locating his killer is compounded by the fact that he suffers from a rare, untreatable form of memory loss.
Guy Pearce, yes. Memento.
Yes.
Nice.
Year 2000.
For some reason, I thought it was going to be, buddy, what's Harrison Ford one-hour man?
Not Fugitive.
No, The Fugitive. That's 90s.
Yeah.
Don't mind me.
Wait, wasn't The Fugitive also, you said his name before.
Tommy Lee Jones.
John Grisham book.
Yeah.
I think it was. Was it or not? No, maybe The Fugitive was a TV show like in the 60s.
I don't know.
We'll never know. There's no way of finding out. Tom, that was very well done. And
thanks. I got two wrong, I think.
Yeah. Well, Minority Report came eventually, so it's still
a good one. I enjoyed being a bit stumped.
That was a good one.
Fuck you, Zach Braff. No time. He's fine in Scrubs.
Yeah, he's great in Scrubs.
Stay there.
Okay. On that note, thank you very much.
Toodaloo.